It's a good day for Miriam Addison, which is who I am right now. Yeah, my $250 million investment into our Trojan horse, Donald J. Trump, has paid off dividends. What is it good for? Making me money. War. What is it good for? Absolutely everything. Turning into an old southern black man as I sit here, but it don't matter none, cause we going to war, boys! Actually, you're going to war, guys. We got a fun show tonight, folks. Fun times in my bunker under the tunnels in D.C. And I hope you guys didn't think that I was going to be above the surface with all of you peasants waiting to get bombed by the Ayatollah's son after we just took out his father. Now, I just remembered that I'm supposed to be an old Yiddish woman, which doesn't make any sense because Miriam Addison is from Israel. But this is all I can do, and my accent's coming back in, and pretty soon it's gonna go back out. And if you got a problem with that, just shut off the TV. Shut it off. I'm tired of you guys telling me you don't like my shitty green screen. Take down your turn, change your voice. It's hurting my ears. Could you stop yelling at me? I'm not gonna do any of that. Sorry that you have all been pussified by your mothers cutting the crust off your sandwiches and everybody changing their pronouns to respect your new mental illness. This is the world we live in now, and you don't have any rights. So if you don't like something I'm doing, you got two choices. Keep watching and grow a pair, or shut it off. That's it. Let's get into the show. We're getting word from the Trump camp that the U.S. troops are reporting that their commanders are framing the Iran war as God's plan. I mean, come on. It can't be any funnier. First, we destroy any true remnant of Christianity in this nation. We destroy the holds of Catholicism and the old English Protestants that really had some kind of connection to the Bible. We destroy that. We make you a bunch of atheists who like watching hookers on MTV shake their ass. And we make it seem fun. Who needs Christ? And as we're doing that, we go in and we rewrite your Bible right around the turn of the century to include a little passage about the nation state of Israel. We specifically play on the word Israel, which was referencing a specific person, not a nation, but we make an ambiguity so that you can't quite be sure. When the Bible says, I will bless those that bless thee, and make you think it's about us. And then we have all your pastors go through our seminary, and we drill this into their head, and then we send them out into the heartland. And we pop up all these churches that have no resemblance to first century AD Christianity. And we fill you in because you got a void. You need something. You need to remember you're here for us, guys. So, I'm not going to keep this accent up forever, but I kind of like this costume. So, I think we can hang out, you know. I think Miriam Addison can hang out for the bulk of this show. And let's see what happens, folks. It's a crazy time. They might find my shelter and bomb me out of here. But at least I went down. Tell them the truth. Can you say the same for yourself? Or
were you a giant pussy?
So apparently a lot of people in the military have been reporting that their commanders are framing this as the war
to bring about Armageddon so that the Moshiach can return, but the commanders say so Jesus Christ can return. You got to think about where that sets you up in respect to God and God's plan when you think you can make him operate on your timeline. Does that not necessarily put you on a level at least equal to, if not superior to God, in which you are demanding that he appears when you want him to, and you're going to try and force his hand by creating a bunch of events that mimic predictions in the Bible of Armageddon, and then you think you could like trick God into thinking, oh, those events must be happening that I said, so I better go. I mean, that's like the most merchant, idea that I've heard so far. As reported by independent journalist Jonathan Larson, a U.S. combat unit commander told non-commissioned officers that the war on Iran is part of God's divine plan, allegedly claiming President Donald Trump was anointed by Jesus, Jesus for my Mexican watchers, to ignite Armageddon. The complaint filed with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, that's funny, that's gone, is one of more than 110 logged within 48 hours from over 40 units across at least 30 installations. Complaints including Christians, a Muslim, and a Jew, I'm glad we have at least one fighting the war that their people want, have requested anonymity to avoid retaliation. It's funny because Christians are actually saying, hey, what's going on? The Pentagon has yet to respond. According to the MRFFF president, Mikey Weinstein, service members report unrestricted euphoria among segments of the chain of command, portraying the assault on Iran as biblically sanctioned and tied to end times prophecy in the book of Revelation. One NCO wrote that such rhetoric is eroding morale, for the people who are still sane, and violating constitutional oaths, particularly for troops in ready support status who could be deployed at any moment. The controversy unfolds as Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, that dry drunk, expands over evangelical programming within the Pentagon, including prayer sessions and Bible studies aligned with staunch pro-Israel theology. All right, everybody, don't forget to go to my website, leonardaisfunny.com, and register. It costs you nothing, but you can get on my mailing list and stay in touch if they pull the plug on all my social media accounts, which we all know could happen. I'm surprised I've made it this far. If you want to support me privately, you can sign up on my premium membership for a monthly subscription where you get exclusive videos that I make only for members. Things that I definitely know would get me banned on the social media platform. So if you think this is spicy, so you can sign up there, and then you can also go check out my tour dates. I am coming to the South in June. I'm going to be in Florida and Atlanta and Nashville, and then I'll be going to the Northeast in the fall. So check out my calendar online. Finally, don't forget to support our sponsor, AntelopeHillPublishing.com. AntelopeHillPublishing.com has the kind of books that you could get put in an internment camp for. Hell yeah! Please use my promo code Leo for 10% off. Every time you support them, you support me because it shows that I'm actually plugging books that they publish, that they take a huge risk to publish, and they're sending me money so that I can tell you guys about them. I'm pretty open, but I asked them if I could advertise them because I loved their books. As you can see, I only really have one sponsor, and it's not because other people haven't reached out to me. It's because I'm not going to sell you a cryptocurrency. The two books that they're really pushing right now is called Essay Cleans Up, which is about a young medical student who traces his journey from being a restless Prussian teenager to becoming a full-time advocate for actual matters, things that actually matter. And so a lot of people always have questions. How did this happen in Germany? I mean, how? Can somebody give me like a manual or something? This book is like the closest thing to that. So I would highly suggest that you guys check that out. And then I would check out The American Regime by Christian Secor, which talks about a lot of the horrible things that have come to pass in our country, the full-on destruction of our country, okay? This was originally published anonymously while the author was in prison after being targeted by the federal government for what happened on January 6th. So this is written by a real political prisoner. So you're supporting him as well, okay? Thank you, guys. See how that works, folks? If you want to be a Christian, you got to be the kind that believes in Israel as fulfilling biblical prophecy. That's good. Weinstein reports that many U.S. commanders appear particularly enthused commanders by prospect of an intensely violent confrontation, emphasizing how much bloodshed they believe is necessary to align events with a fundamentalist Christian end times narrative. Excuse me, I'm getting over a cold. It's kind of damp in my bunker, and we haven't really set up the air circulation units.
I said I'm choking. Please fix the ventilation or you're going out there with the rest of the guys.
Anyway, so you guys are just going to have to bear with me. Now, you might think, well, this is crazy, Leonardo. Christianity is coming together. We're back to our roots. You say all this stuff about how America is a Christian nation. Isn't it great? Our military is Christian. Not when you're the particular brand of Christian that believes it's necessary to wipe out two-thirds of the earth so a certain magical nation created by the Rothschilds can rule over the rest of humanity and have something like 6,507 goy slaves. Yeah, I think that might be not the kind of Christianity I want. The kind of Christianity I want is the kind that you get booted from freedom of religion panel when you object to a new law that makes it illegal to criticize Zionism because it's categorized under anti-Semitism. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Carrie, I don't know how to say her name. Sorry, Carrie, very beautiful woman. Carrie Prejean Bowler. Let's look her up so you guys can see what I'm talking about. She has been the target of Larry Loomer's incessant hate for her objection to being removed from a board where she was fighting against the new laws against anti-Semitism. So, see if I can find her. Here she is, the former Miss California. Kind of strange that CNN is covering this, but she was removed from Trump's Religious Liberty Commission after a heated hearing on anti-Semitism. And I watched it, and basically she went back and forth with a Zionist asking if objecting to Zionism was something that could be framed as anti-Semitic. And he basically said yes. And she said, well, I'm a Catholic, so I have to oppose Zionism, which any Christian who has any good theology would know that it doesn't make sense that you would support a religious movement that thinks your Messiah is burning in hell. Yeah, I think it might not be a good idea to support that competing religion. But, you know, don't ask any Americans to turn their brains on anytime soon, because if your brain has not been captured by the idiot Marxist communist left color revolution that wants to take a knife to every white person's throat for the crime of showing people of color how to use electricity and have running water, if your brain hasn't been taken over by that, it has been completely consumed by the Zionist right, which is imbuing thoughts of crazy Muslims in Iran putting together an atomic bomb in between herding their sheep or whatever else they do with them, just so they could blow you up. If your brain hasn't been consumed by one, it's been consumed by the other. And those of us who have retained any decent level of common sense find ourselves without a political home, wringing our hands saying, when will God wipe out the evil of this earth? I know that probably includes me, and it's a deal I'm willing to take just so that the innocents of this world can have a chance not growing up under a total tyrannical AI-controlled system that will burst into your house and gun down your whole family because you dared to think a critical thought about the country that shall not be named. So that's the kind of Christianity they want. Not Carrie Bowler's Christianity, but Pete Hegseth, a reformed alcoholic and serial adulterer who is just bloodthirsty to slay some school children because, hey, terrorists aren't people, right? If you think that was made up, here is an evangelical pastor, John Hagee. And remember, this goes on every Sunday throughout the country in every evangelical church, these mega churches, which, God help me, there's Starbuckses in the church. This is why I'm a big fan of Orthodoxy, because you come into Orthodoxy and they basically tell you, you ain't shit. You suck. You had one job, which was not to eat the fruit of the tree, and you couldn't even do that. And now, ladies, you've got to go through the worst pain imaginable just to continue the human race. And men, you've got to toil the fields and break your back to feed this woman who's going to take half your money anyway. But if you come here and you listen to God's word, and you think about the goodness of God, something can start to happen in you where you can be reconciled to the creator of the universe. That's a wonderful message. And honestly, more of us need to be told what gigantic pieces of shit we are, because I think it actually helps for you to know that you're a gigantic piece of shit and you're probably gonna do gigantic piece of shit actions. But God can help you to be less of a gigantic piece of shit if you humble yourself, right? You're not going to be out there like, we're so, whatever. Anyway, the mega church experience is a little different than what the Christians tried to tell us. The mega church experience is hundreds, if not thousands of people piling into an arena, dressing up to show off, getting their Starbucks coffee, walking in, and having a freaking almost billionaire pastor sit up there and tell him about how God wants them all to be rich and bomb the shit out of some Iranian children in a poor village because they have nuclear weapons, and preaching to their magnificence. And then at some point a rock band comes out. We just have a love, the Lord, the Lord loves me. Best country on the earth. Gotta help Israel kill the Muslim. Praise the Lord. That's what we get.
Don't ever do it!
In an evangelical church. So if you tell me that you look at this guy who's up here in his $500 minimum suit with no class talking about how we gotta build Zion, and they're God's people, and you're not a little bit disturbed, I don't know where you are. Anyway, you might notice that my sound quality has improved at this point. It's because I forgot to put my microphone on, and I'm not going to re-record all that because you just can't capture lightning in a bottle twice, okay? Anyway, let's go watch this little pastor over here.
The Bible proves that the Jewish people are the most unique people on the face of the earth. They are a chosen people. They are a covenant people. They are a cherished people. They are the apple of God's eye. The unchallengeable fact of the Bible is that Israel and the Jewish people are unique. Listen, Israel did not choose this uniqueness.
No.
God chose it for them. Listen to this.
They definitely didn't choose to write that in their little book about themselves, for sure.
It's prayer in 1 Chronicles 17:20. It's one of the most powerful words in the scripture. Oh, Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you. And who is like your people Israel? Listen, the one nation on the earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people.
Yeah.
Chosen and still cherished. Deuteronomy 7 and 6, for you, Israel, are a chosen people, a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. Listen to this next sentence. A special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. That includes the United States of America.
Imagine being part of a religion that puts another group of people above you and says, these people are superior to you. Worship them. I mean, worship God too, but worship them. And not being a little curious. Like, And it's funny because he's only chosen to read from the Old Testament, which means to me that this guy does not really like some of the verses in the New Testament, which suggests something a little different. Here are a couple of verses that our pastor does not like to read. Matthew 21, 43 to 46. Therefore I say to you, who's he talking to? The kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking to them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him. There are more verses. You can just go ahead and look at them. Romans 11, 11 to 24, Paul describes Israel as a cultivated olive tree where some natural branches, unbelieving Jews, unbelieving in what? Unbelieving in Christ, are broken off due to unbelief, allowing wild branches, aka Gentiles, to be grafted in. So I don't really want to get into a whole theological lesson here. There's plenty of people who are way more experienced than I am on breaking this down that you can go search on YouTube, who show you that the inheritance of Israel is based on belief, not blood. Because if it was based on blood and not belief, then these people's worship is in vain. Why are you worshiping Christ then? You should convert and become a Jew. Anyways, I'm getting a little derailed. But my whole point is that what's going on inside the Trump administration is absolutely insane. And that so many of these pastors that rub you the wrong way, it's because they're charlatans. They are modern day Pharisees who have changed the temple of God into a money-changing table on a mass scale. Here is Paula White, Trump's pastor, saying that she needs everybody to give her $100,000. Let's just watch a little bit of this.
Without you being obedient, this is about kids who are going to be minstrels and instruments and warriors and mighty for God. This is about kids who don't make a difference. I'm not going to take everybody's blessing. I'm going to tell you, get a seed of sacrifice. Get in there. You need a building. Come on. You need a wedding dress. You need some things, but you're struggling all the time financially. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not every wish and every want, but it is provision for the vision. The kingdom of God is there.
See, there's that prosperity gospel. Are you struggling? Give me your money. I'm going to multiply it up in this piece.
You and I know. You give him one, I'm giving lots of them too. Come on, I know what this is about.
Oh, yeah.
This is about freedom over my unborn great-great-grandchildren. This is about what I've done for these kids, God is going to certainly do for mine. Then my lineage and legacy.
Oh, boy. I can't listen to too much of this because it makes me sick. So this is what's going on, guys. This is why, because does anybody know why we're going to war with this country that's supposed, I mean, we heard the stories, right? We heard the stories that apparently they have nuclear weapons. This is what we're told. They have nuclear weapons. That was one of them. And then the other one was that they were killing their Democratic protesters. The number's up to 36,000. Supposedly they killed 36,000 of their Democratic protesters. And then it's also because they won't let their women dress like and won't let their gays be gays. They keep stopping the child so that you can't make any more new gays. And the gays of this country are very upset about that. So there's no real clear rhyme or reason about why we're going into this war with Iran, because the rhyme and the reason is simply that this particular country is a threat to our greatest ally who wants total domination in the region from which to rule potentially more than just the region. So you guys can figure that out. This is what happens. You can't have religious fanatics determining your government policy because their beliefs are by definition irrational. They cannot be checked with reason, which, by the way, God never tells us to leave our reason at the door. He tells us, test the spirits. Orthodoxy is all about using your brain, your God-given brain, because they're like, God didn't give you a brain for you not to use it. It is a way to keep from falling into heresy and horrible beliefs like this. But apparently in evangelical Christian, you're just supposed to believe whatever your pastor, who is becoming a vicar for Christ. So for all their opposition to Rome and the Pope, they certainly have their own little popes in their churches. And then we're getting word that people in the Trump administration are building nuclear-proof bunkers. And I gotta say, you know, I know they're trying to make it look like end times, but some of this stuff is looking like end times despite, well, even without them trying, because, you know, there's a saying in the, I think it's in Revelation that they, I think the rich went to hide into the mountains and the mountains swallowed them up. And to me, it's like, you're not going to escape God's justice. And half these people don't really believe in God. They believe in a God who is like a genie, is going to give them what they want, but they really believe in themselves as gods to affect whatever prophecy they want. Obviously, what we're all expecting right now is false flags, despite the North Korea level propaganda that they're running polls and Trump's approval rating is like 95%. I'm not kidding. They literally put this out there. I don't know who's falling for this. Actually, I do. Your boomer parents, whatever side of the fence they're on, this is the realization I have come to realize. Being a conservative does not inoculate you against brainwashing. We thought the liberals would be inoculated against brainwashing with the vaccine because they were all health nuts before that, all about granola and all this. Turns out that wasn't true. We thought that the right would be inoculated against government overreach because they're supposed to be conservatives and want small government. Turns out that's not true. A boomer is a boomer is a boomer. Doesn't matter if it's a conservative or a Democrat. And my apologies to my fans who are boomers. I'm not specifically talking about you. That when you talk to your peers, they're crazy and they probably always have been. And anytime you try to tell them the truth about this little group, so I'm not talking about you, so don't get bloomers in a bunch. I don't know what boomers wear. But in general, it's very frustrating. And I think part of that has to do with boomers grew up with the TV. And they grew up at a time when nobody was aware that the American government propagandized its people. And it was post-World War II when the propaganda really was out of control. And so we're dealing with people who can't see reality. They've got a matrix screen over their eyes, and they're either putting I'm a bleeding heart Democrat and, black people are super special lens if they're a liberal, or they're like a conservative, look, I'm not racist, but I don't trust those people, / kill all the Muslims filter. And it's very difficult to talk to them to either group because you're like, hey, I'm trying to have a rational discussion. There's truth in each camp. Also, if you just stop bombing the Muslim countries, they're not going to come over here and do anything. The whole reason they got beef with us is because we blew up their homes. And then they wouldn't be flooding. I mean, just look at after every single war that we have waged in the Middle East, we have gotten their immigrants. You got the Somalis that came in after the Somalian war. The Afghans, we had that Afghan who did what may be a false flag, the shooting, right? Now, Trump is over here saying how, yeah, we're going to have to take some Iranian refugees. They're like, oh, no, they're not going to take Iranian refugees. And here he is being like, yeah, we're going to take them. Nothing you can do about it. Too bad.
And I'm once again calling on all members of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, the military, and the police to lay down their arms. They're only going to be killed. And now is the time to stand up for the Iranian people and help take back your country. You're going to have a chance after all these years to take back your country. Accept immunity. We'll give you immunity. And we'll be giving you really the right side of history, because that's what it is. So you'll be perfectly safe with total immunity, or you'll face absolutely guaranteed death. And I don't want to see that. They don't want to see it either. We also urge Iranian diplomats around the world to request asylum and to help us shape a new and better. And I'm what.
So they always start out that way, right? No, we're not going to take them. But then you blow up their country. All of a sudden, you make a bunch of refugees. Now they're coming here. They're coming in Europe. Every white country has a flood of third world migration that are the result of many of these Western imperial wars that no one wanted. We didn't want. Well,
some people wanted them.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I found it to be incredibly frustrating to try and talk to any boomers and talk any sense into them, because they've already got their conditioning and they just think you're crazy. Like, they think you're a crazy racist or a crazy anti-Semite or just crazy conspiracy theorist. And some of them are like, I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist. I'm not going to go that far. And no matter what it is, they're tuning in nonstop to the news of their political persuasion. And I'm sorry to break it to you guys, but Fox News is not the arbiter of truth. They might reveal the truth about some race stuff. They're never going to tell you who was behind the civil rights movement. And at the end of the day, they're the liberals of yesterday. What I really want to kind of sum up here is that everybody is retarded, including you. We all are pretty retarded. You have to know that about yourself, because if you know that you're retarded, you can say, well, look, I'm pretty retarded, which means that somebody who was a little bit smarter or more sophisticated than me could lie to me, manipulate, and brainwash me at any given time. At any given time. They don't even have to be that smart. You know, they could just play on your emotions. This is what happens all the time when, you know, crackheads, you know, rob you, right? So they play on your emotions. So you think this and you go, okay, since I know that about myself, let me examine the beliefs that I'm having. Where am I getting them from? Why do I believe that Iran has nuclear weapons and they were going to use it against us? Oh, I heard it on Fox News. Oh, interesting. Do I have any reason to believe that Fox News could be lying to me? I understand they're better than the crazy lunatic lefties and the damn commies, but is there any reason that even Fox News might not be telling me the whole truth? Does this resemble a pattern of anything I've seen before? Well, you know, now that you mention it, when we went to war with Iraq, I remember that George W. said that they had weapons of mass destruction, and it was printed even in the New York Times, and all these reputable organizations were saying it, and it turned out they didn't have them. And then they said, oh, well, oops.
Weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere. Nope, no weapons over there. Maybe under here. Oops, this photo wasn't supposed to be in here.
They got what they wanted. Oh, yeah, that happened. Okay. But but Trump said the Iranians were beheading babies. Oh, interesting. Would Trump have, I know you love Trump, he's cute, he's a hero, would there be any reason for Trump maybe to be lying to you? I don't know, maybe 250 million reasons for Trump to be like, maybe a list with a bunch of his buddies that he's trying not to get thrown in jail. Could there be any reason? I'm not sure. Okay, do you remember any other atrocity propaganda? You know, like when we wanted to go to war with Saudi Arabia and they said that they were just going in and killing these incubator babies. Remember that? Remember the incubator babies? Oh, yeah. So you start to think and you start to have introduced a little bit of doubt in your belief system so that you do not consent to some psychopath's blood destruction of innocent people because they're trying to force Jesus to return. Or if you're not a Jesus believer, trying to bring back the Moshiach so you can build the third temple.
You can- can come back safely to your homes.
If you take away the Soviet Union and its chief proxy, the PLO, international terrorism.
I have to stop the sound because the music is going to be a copyright violation. But basically, he's saying this stuff over and over again about how you have to get rid of Saddam, and if we win, you can come home. And this has been overlaid over Americans who lost their loved ones. Now, we are a bit desensitized because we hear so much about this, but you got to kind of, and sorry to do this to you guys got to think about someone you love the most. And would you send that person off to Iran right now? Is there a reason big enough for you to send the person that you love the most to fight this war? If the answer is anything other than hell yes, then you are not actually wanting to go to this war, but you have no problem with other people dying because you don't care about them. And that's evil. That's a real piece of shit place to be. So we could sit here and talk about the JQ all day, but you got evil in you too that you need to examine. I'm telling you right now, my answer would be hell no. I know wars sometimes have to happen, wars of defense. They are far less than what we've had. I'd send my enemy. Probably not, because I actually have some empathy, okay? But these people are never coming back into these people's lives. They're never coming back, ever, ever. Do you think it's worth killing these people because some women in Iran can't walk around like hookers because they live under an Islamic republic? No. Desert people have been doing desert things for thousands of years. They're going to be doing it after, whether your loved ones die or not. And we know it's not the reason. Okay? And it's certainly not worth killing these people for the gain of a country that thinks nothing of their sacrifice. Okay? It's tragic. Tragic. Okay? Here's an example. This was an American plane that was falling to the ground, and it's playing in the background of Israel's Channel 12 while the host, Niv Raskin, urgently notes, "We need to emphasize this is an incident involving American forces and not, heaven forbid, an incident involving Israeli forces." Thereby showing you're like, well, because it was just one of the goys who, God forbid it was one of ours. But that's kind of very cold and callous, because here are Americans sending their sons to die for you, and you can't even hold it together for 5 seconds on public television to at least feign sympathy. This is what you want to send? Think again about the person you love the most being in that plane, and this is the way they respond, and that person was there fighting for them. Do you think this is an ally? There you go. So you can see it for yourselves. People calling out already the atrocities that happened. This was a missile that struck a school for girls. Little girls aged 7 to 12 and killed 168 of these girls. You gotta look, I don't care. You think, oh, they're dirty Muslims, whatever. But these people are just living their life. They're not doing anything to... We're the ones who are going over there and disrupting their lives. This is going... You kill somebody's 7 to 12-year-old kid, I think they're going to have a blood vendetta against you for generations, right? Especially you specifically targeted, and they think this was specifically targeted. Now, we got crazy people. We got crazy people in America. Now, we know what group she belongs to. Celebrating that Khamenei died. Now, let me ask you guys something. Did your life change from when Khamenei was alive to when he died, the Ayatollah? Did anything in your life change? So it's total lunacy to be out in the streets celebrating the death of someone who had no impact on your life, wasn't even doing anything.
Wake up, reading that my people being killed by Ali Khamenei, but this is the first morning in my life that...
So
I get the good news. I want to run and shout out of joy.
Ali Khamenei is dead. Free Iran.
Why do these people all of a sudden care so much about freeing Iran? You know,
they take it. Ali Khamenei.
I'll tell you why. And this is where, you know, you got to do a little bit of digging. These are some people who are crying about what happened to their kids. These are people. These are human beings. You guys should watch this. This woman, two of her twins were blown up, and her husband was killed, and her daughter was maimed. And she was in the car when this happened. They were blown up by one of these pagers. Awesome. And what's the comment? Have you forgotten about October 7th? As if one atrocity justifies another. Because these people had nothing to do with this. This is, does this woman look like a terrorist to you? Okay, don't answer that question. But Catherine Austin Fitz is a great woman. She has some great info. I like her. She seems like she's telling the truth. But she basically broke down how the whole point of this is for Trump to usher in the control grid, the digital currency, and digital surveillance. And that is his whole purpose, because conservatives would not have accepted this under Kamala. And you got to think about that, right? If Kamala was in charge, we'd still be getting all the same policies, but the people that they need to fight their war would be like, yeah, I'm not enrolling in a military for a president that hates me, which is white evangelical Christian Americans, right? That's who fights the nation's wars. Sorry to tell you, it's not the people of color and the Somalis and the Haitians that you're bringing in. They're not enlisting into your military to fight for your country. It's not going to happen. So the elites that run and destroy everything figure that out and said, we got to get Trump in there if we want this war. But more importantly, what they really want is a total surveillance state, so that should you think anything contrary to what they want you to think, they're going to shut down your banking to be nice, but they will totally destroy your family a la Ruby Ridge.
Trump was put into the White House to persuade conservatives to go along with a control grid. And what you need to understand is if you look at all the factions operating in Washington, there is nobody on our side. They are all trying to implement the control grid. And the question is, who's going to control it and who's going to make money on it? So is Trump our friend? Absolutely not. And if you look at the extraordinary effort that the administration has made to build the control grid, the local hardware and software infrastructure, billions of dollars. So let me step and talk about the local infrastructure.
Please
and then
do.
Come back to this side, Andy. Let me explain what AI is really good at. So there's a lot of crazy, magical, stupid thinking on AI. But one of the things I will say about AI, it's absolutely superb at implementing or tracking things that can be expressed mathematically. So its ability to collect and process huge amounts of data like surveillance data, where you're trying to implement spatial control or financial control, it's absolutely fantastic at, okay? And if you look at all the data centers we're building all over the country, they are there for control. That's what they do. They're not there to make businesses. You know, I always laugh when the guys say, oh, we poured all this money into AI and it's not making companies more productive. Well, of course, it's not meant to make companies more productive. It's meant to make sure that the leadership has complete control, spatial control and financial control. I just noted Congressman Massey is now fighting to kill the switch in your car, you know, kill the car switch. So they've got new items in the car that can, your car can be turned off, you know, remotely. And so he's trying to kill the kill switch, but that gets back to spatial control. And if everybody's an electric car and you could kill the switch, there you go. You've got total control of movements and money.
So she's someone worth watching. By the way, this gets back to the religious thing, right? Because if you think about what the Bible tells you about Satan, it's a totalitarian system. Isn't this crazy, right? The prediction in Revelation is that no one will be able to buy or sell without taking the mark of the beast. And there's so much debate about what the mark is. The important part is that there is this revelation of the nature of satanic power in this document that was written 2,000 years ago that reveals exactly what we see our leaders. Our leaders are driven by the same, it's palpable, this evil desire for total domination over the human spirit and entity. It's you can't make that up, folks. Something that came out to that, you could have been like, oh, it's all mythology, it's crazy. Okay, but then why does it reveal so clearly the way that evil wants total control over your life? You want to say Donald Trump is Q and he's for the American people. Would a good leader, a godly leader, help advance an agenda that wants total domination and control over your life, which is ultimately going to lead to complete erasure of your freedoms? Does that sound right? Remember the thing about examining your beliefs, using a little bit of logic to ask yourself if something lines up with what you're believing, or if maybe you're not seeing something because you have an emotional blind spot? Trump has already signed basically what they're calling the Patriot Act 2.0, his cyber strategy for America. And in it, he says, we're going to unveil and embarrass online espionage, destructive propaganda, and influence operations and cultural subversion. Which culture and which subversion? Because we've had cultural subversion for the last 70 years that resulted in people chopping off their children's genitals and nothing was done about that. That was totally fine with the satanic agenda. So what do you think they're talking about when they talk about cultural subversion? Oh, I don't know. Maybe like when a news article says that you have to suspend the First Amendment, you know, something that is sacrosanct in American Constitution because of anti-Semites who have to be thrown into, look at this, Carlson, Fuentes, and Owens must be jailed inside a World War II style internment camp. Okay. This is Bolshevik 2.0. That's what they did in Russia. Here you go. You can read this. Shout out to Sam Parker, who always does excellent research. Please support him if you can. Buy him a coffee. It's $5. The man does all this for free and barely gets any attention because he doesn't have tits. Sorry, Sam. But he does do some excellent research. Here with Netanyahu coming out and saying, I demand that Western governments do what is necessary to fight anti-Semitism. Here you go.
אני דורש מממשלות המערב לעשות את מה שנדרש כדי להילחם באנטישמיות ולתת את הביטחון הדרוש, את ההבטחה הדרושה לקהילות היהודיות בעולם. וכדאי שיקשיבו לאזהרות שלנו.
Well, to heed our warnings, what's that? Also, don't understand why he's making this saying in Hebrew when he's talking supposedly to the West. But you can understand, I mean, here we go, and here's another former Mossad officer who explains how Mossad reaches out to organizations to label people as anti-Semites who speak critically of Israel.
I mean, when I was in the Mossad, and we had a guy that gave us problems in the U.S., and he was speaking out, and he was talking like Pete talked once and said, Israel is bombing Lebanon with cluster bombs. We say, hey, who's that guy? You know, Pete McCarthy, we used to call him. Yeah. Which is Pete the Cockroach. Because he makes a lot of noise and you can't get rid of him. So what you do is you get in touch with a guy in the station in New York or in the station in Washington. You say, tell the guys at B'nai B'rith to label him. And of course the campaign starts and before you know it, the guy's labeled. And he's an anti-Semite. Because that's what we say he is. And that's one stain you cannot wash. Now, it shames me as a Jew to tell you that, but that's the fact, and it's wrong. And the people who are perpetrating this don't really understand what they're doing because they're losing their own liberties.
So it seems like that guy grew a conscience. I don't really believe that. There's some kind of motive here. Whenever they tell you something, it's some motive. But he's basically saying what we've all been saying online, people call us crazy, which is that it's a smear campaign. Because somebody simply reporting the facts of what a government is doing does not make that person a genocidal maniac who wants to wipe out all those people, which is what they are saying when they label you an anti-Semite. So you can understand, right? You got the most pro-Israel president right now signing a Patriot Act 2.0 that says that if you're guilty of like cultural subversion, they're going to do stuff to you, and they're not quite clear what that is. But we got another article saying put them in an internment camp, and we're basically set up to do a Bolshevik 2.0, and who's going to get targeted but actual Christians who don't believe that this is the Holy Land. And maybe today you are like, yeah, I don't care, Leonardo. I'm tired of those Middle Eastern goat f***ers, and I want to side with this nation and get rid of them. Cool. What happens if you change your mind tomorrow and you see the videos of the children getting bombed and their arms blown off, and then a bunch of these people online making fun of those kids because they belong to the wrong group, and you decide, I'm on the wrong side, which happened, by the way, with communism. People started off being pro-communist, end up seeing the atrocities switch, and then what happens? Those people get thrown in the camps. So not only do you have to be like, okay, yeah, I'm on that side, you have to know you're always going to stay on that side. That is the danger of advocating for the removal of the rights of people you deem your enemies, is one day you might find yourself on the same side as them. This is what the libs didn't understand when they were pushing for cancel culture for their enemies. Cancel them, yeah, get rid of them. They didn't understand that that was going to turn around and bite them in the ass, which is what happened after Charlie Kirk, when so many of them were celebrating his death. And now the machinery for cancel culture was already created by them. That's my message to you guys, is do not give your consent to this propaganda. And I don't think we should black pill and be hopeless, because I do still believe in a divine order to things, and that we are in a very trying time, and there is a reason we, us individually, have been born into this time. Anybody watching my videos who likes my content and like my jokes, you have a job to do. You cannot lay all this at the hands and feet of other people. Oh, well, Leonardo, you have a platform. You have people in your life you can talk to. You can change three people's minds, but you gotta fight and you gotta get uncomfortable, because everybody's a little too comfortable and they like their freaking deliveries of Whataburger or whatever else crap you're eating. And nobody has any purpose in their life. And then they wonder why they're all fat and depressed. Okay? So I got a little uplifting note to leave us on, because I don't like leaving us on a downhill. So here is somebody I like. I like Del Bigtree, and he talks about what we should do in this trying time.
You said it was a spiritual warfare. How do you fight a spiritual war if people are not conscious?
You wake up every morning and you hold your own consciousness and say, I'm a vessel for the truth in this world. What am I supposed to do today? And forget about the long-term goal. That is not yours to decide. God is going to decide how this all plays out. And God knows what each one of you need to do. Hold yourself in God consciousness. Hold yourself in the spiritual idea that we are evolving and we're a beautiful people. And then when you ask, what am I supposed to do? Say yes to that thought that comes into your mind immediately. That is all you can do. That is all any of us did. I did not predict I was going to put Robert Kennedy Jr. as HHS secretary. I did not know that Vax would do the things it would do. All I did was, today I'm going to make a movie and tell the truth. Today I'm going to tell Robert Kennedy Jr. I think you should run for president of the United States. It's crazy. It looks terrible on paper. And if we all thought it through and how's that going to work out, no one would have ever moved. We would have just sat there petrified. You know, the paralysis of analysis. Stop analyzing where this is going. Who cares if it's going to be the food? I don't know if it's going to be the tobacco. None of us know exactly what this agenda is, but what they need is our compliance. They need us frozen in fear, thinking about how big this is and how gigantic it seems to move. You want to move a mountain, you move it by moving one grain of sand at a time, and focus on your grain today. You are here for a reason. We are born right now for a reason. This is our time. You are God's people. We will win this if you get up every morning and say, this is the most important time that's ever been. We as a species are being asked by God to do something, and do it. Amen.
You might think Del Bigtree is a painter, but he's not. He's just against the government overreach, wanting to put shots in everybody's system. So it's an important message. Remember, wake up, do what you can do with what you got. That's all God's asking of you. And stop crying about how hard it is. Every generation has had difficulties. This one's ours. Signing off.